If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, the sun's going to set soon, but it is a and has been a beautiful day in St. Louis after some really chilly mornings. And then Sue, we're going to have Dave Murray jump on here with us in a minute. You were saying that as we get closer to Christmas, maybe even temperatures that are even warmer than today, right?
Yeah, it's nuts. I've looked at the extended forecast like I do, and it's in the 60s for Christmas.
I remember when I just moved into the house I'm in right now, and when Santa brought Alexa, like one of these frozen car, like a little car thing. What do you call it? Like that you can drive.
I know what you're talking
about. Alex Rich is here too. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Like the car, you know, that electric little vehicle.
Yeah, one of those little, like they got the little
electric
Jeep ones.
Battery
yeah,
one.
That's what it yeah. was. Yeah. Right, exactly.
Uh-huh.
But that Christmas, it was in the 60s because I remember going up and down the street, yeah. you know, riding that thing. So you can really get a variety of temperatures around this time of year, as we know, in St. Louis. Dave Murray here to confirm all that. How are you this afternoon, Dave?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good, but we have what? Not snow, but a lot of rain in the forecast for tomorrow. So let's start with that.
Okay, it's not. There is rain, no question about it. It's mainly in the morning, probably ending during the early afternoon. Could be a rumble of thunder. I don't think it's a lot of rain, but it's rain, and we can always use that. And it's all rain. Our temperature, we're only going down to 50 tonight.
Whoa.
And during the rain, temperatures will kind of hang in the 50s. And then a northwest wind comes in and we cool off. We should be about 45 by the time the sun goes down tomorrow.
That's not too bad. All right. So as we as we go into the weekend and then next week, what are the expectations at this point? It looks like a white Christmas seems out of the question, Dave. Let me go on a limb there, right?
I think we can basically stick a fork in that at this point. Now, we will be cold Thursday night. We will be cold on Friday. Kind of chilly on Sunday, so kind of a bouncing of temperatures. But right now, it looks like temperatures will be either near or a little bit above average right through the holiday week. Still anticipating a storm system probably closer to New Year's, and it looks like an all-rain event for us, but there will be a big snow across the plains and the upper Midwest from that thing. So, you know, it looks like, at least for the time being, the cold air is not going to get back in here. I think it will. It's just not going to do it during the holiday week.
Well, yeah, it looks very mild and comfortable, and it looks like an opportunity for those of us who might have some time off to hit some golf balls during this time period. Dave, I'd be very happy
if
I can do that.
Well, it seems like, other than, you know, 20 degrees, that almost any day is an opportunity for you.
That's a good point.
I like that philosophy, Dave. I do. Hey, you have a great Christmas if we don't hook up, but thanks for the update this afternoon.
All right, guys. My
Merry
pleasure.
Merry Christmas.
Take care. Alex, how are you, by the way?
Doing well. Doing
You're a
well.
Big music guy. I wanted to share something here quickly and promote something I'm going to do on Friday. I'm very excited about the Neil Diamond movie that's coming out called Song Sung Blue. And it's not about Neil Diamond. And this is where I discovered this a few weeks ago when I saw the trailer. It's about a Neil Diamond tribute act, if you will, called Lightning and Thunder from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I knew them. I interviewed Lightning when I was up there. I was trying to think if I ever met them. And I'm not even sure I met them, but I did phone interviews. But they were kind of a thing, Alex. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a bit of a novelty act, but they had a big following in the bars in Milwaukee. And there's this big music festival called Summerfest. It's one of the biggest festivals in the nation. It used to be like 10 days straight. They've changed it a few years ago. Now they do like three separate weekends.
Right.
But they have an amphitheater, which is like what we have here at Riverport. And then they have small stage along the lakefront that other performers are on. It really, it's a great music festival. So this movie, Song Sung Blue, is based on a documentary that a guy named Greg Coase did back in 2011. And he followed Lightning and Thunder, essentially the period that I was in Milwaukee. I was there from 97 until 2006. He followed them from the early 2000s to about, you know, 2010 or so. And they had an immense following up there, and people kind of knew them. They were a thing. So Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam come to Summerfest mm-hmm. to perform. And this is in the early days, to a certain extent, of Pearl Jam. and they know about, you know, lightning and thunder. So they bring them up on stage at Summerfest, and here's Eddie Vedder here.
You know what? We have another hometown special guest for you. I believe he's fairly famous, and he's here with his wife. And they're going to do a little number for you. And I just hope you enjoy the f*** out of it. And let's bring him out. Bring a warm hand for Lightning and Thunder.
So Lightning, his name is Mike Sardina. Thunder, his wife, was Claire. She did Patsy Cline standards. But Mike Sardina is a real interesting character, and he's the Neil Diamond guy, right? So he kind of explains how this happened with Eddie Vedder.
Next thing we know, we're being introduced, and we're led out there with a flashlight. Nobody can see us. They don't know what's going on. And I said, hello, Milwaukee. And then I thought, hello, Milwaukee. You know, like, yeah.
Hello, Milwaukee.
The crowd goes crazy.
We're going to need you to clap your hands like this. Everybody. Are you ready to say yes?
So then Mike shares the story in the documentary. And by the way, I want to point this out. I'm going to have Greg on the air on Friday. You can watch the documentary that this movie is based on. And the way I understand it, it's essentially a remake of the documentary. Yeah. So it's not only inspired by the documentary, but it's a remake. But listen to Mike kind of explain the situation with a guy that he didn't even know, named Eddie Vedder.
And we got to actually be in it. He said, you know who I am? I said, no. He said, you ever heard of Pearl Jam? I said, yeah. Yeah, I've heard of them. And he says, but you don't know who I am. I said, no. He says, that's good. And I said, okay. I said, well, who are you? He said, I'm Eddie Vedder. And I shook his hand. And he said, we should do Song Sung Blue. I said, I gotta be honest with you. This crowd ain't about Song Sung Blue. I think they're more about Forever in Blue Jeans. He said, what's that?
Well, and Eddie doesn't even know the lyrics. He's got like a songbook with him. There he is singing it. And he's laughing the whole time he sings. He's just having a great time.
And he's sitting there on a stool with his legs crossed, and he's reading the words. And I'm like, Eddie, go for it.
And I think they picked the right song, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I got to tell you something, because I rewatched the documentary, and I forgot how the documentary ended. And I don't know if the film, which will star Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, it will open up a week from today, I don't know if the film will stay true to the ending of the documentary, but I hope that it will, because there's more to the Eddie Vedder story. And Greg Coase, who's the documentarian, and he had an amazing, successful career. He was doing stuff for Harley Davidson when I was in Milwaukee. You know, they would have the big anniversary. I was there for the 90th, 95th, and 100th, I think. I think I was there for three different anniversaries, maybe two. But anyway, Greg worked for NFL Films, and this became kind of a passion project for him. But what I told you a few weeks ago is that when he was trying to release the documentary, he didn't have the music rights, and he had no connection with Neil Diamond. Well, Mike Sardina, because of that Summerfest appearance with Eddie Vedder, had Eddie Vedder's contact, and he had it in his phone as EV, and he transferred that to Greg Coase. So Greg, literally the night before this movie, Song Sung Blue, is supposed to play at a music festival in 2011, or a movie festival, they get a call from the lawyers saying, you can't do it. So he reaches out to EV, and Eddie Vedder answers the phone and says, I'll try. The next thing you know, Neil Diamond is on the phone saying, I saw the movie. I loved it. Use my music. And now, 15 years later, it's turning into a major motion picture from Hollywood with Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson. And Kate Hudson was nominated for a Golden Globe, I think, for a Critics' Choice Award for Best Supporting Actress. She plays Claire. And it's, you know, what I'll tell you, Sue, too, is this is not a happy story. The whole story is not happy.
Oh.
There are happy aspects, but they had you know, this does not ruin the film because it happens right at the beginning. Claire was just gardening in her front yard in South Milwaukee, and a car ran up on her yard and took her out, and she lost her leg because of
it. Oh, my gosh.
And this was in the middle of lightning and thunder kind of hitting a high in their career, and that caused them to take this. So the story is amazing, but just Google Song Sung Blue documentary on YouTube, and the whole film, the original film that it's based on, will come up. You can watch it for free. Greg Coase is going to join me on Friday afternoon.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Wednesday afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. We got Suze News coming up here. And then after that, Alex Rich will stay and hang in the studio. I have a quiz, a workplace quiz for the team this afternoon. It's about behavior at work. Raise your hand if you think I'm going to be the one who fails.
Yeah.
I think you're probably pretty right about that.
Hey, I like the music here.
Thank you. Well, we got a little Christmas music that we're moving in here for the time being as we get closer to Christmas Day. But let's do this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, it's National Wright Brothers Day. And this is because on this day in history, I love this so much, 122 years ago in 1903, Wilbur and Orville Wright took their first flight and proved that man could fly. Now, Orville piloted their Flyer One airplane. It was a 12-second flight over Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. The entire distance they covered in the air was shorter than the wingspan of a 747 today.
Wow, I didn't know it was that short.
Yes. That offers perspective.
It does.
Yeah.
And when you think about that happening in the time, I guess in the century that at least three of us were born, it's kind of shocking to think how far we've come in so little amount of time. I mean, it changed the entire world. We can fly wherever the heck we want.
Not only that, but it still makes my brain hurt to see, like, not only the jets that we travel in for, you know, recreation or vacations or whatever, but 747s, whatever they might be, but some of these big cargo planes, to think that they can actually get off the ground and go into the
air unbelievable
and fly.
It really is.
It's like an apartment building taking off.
Yes.
It's crazy.
And just to think that it all came from two brothers who owned a bicycle shop and tried it out and figured it. It's amazing.
I know the simple answer, obviously, is that, you know, that it's like aerodynamics and like those different things.
Right, but
dude, honestly.
I know.
Right.
Think about it.
You are
flying.
That's
crazy.
I have, and that's why I'm admitting that my brain hurts when I
scary.
Think about it.
It's scary when you think about
a train.
It.
It is.
Let's think about a train. Oh, there's tracks and there's an engine. That seems to make sense. Cars make sense to me.
And we're on the ground.
But honestly, it's crazy to me how like they even get TVs to work. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, yes. One thing, I'm still amazed that huge cruise ships float.
Yes,
so big.
I know.
There's giant cities.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how we all hurtle through the air with other people and fly all over, it's just mind-boggling.
It's something.
David McCullough's book, The Wright Brothers, is amazing. If you haven't read it, it's not too long, Mark. I highly recommend it. So if you're looking for a final Christmas gift, it's really
good. Are there pictures,
Sue?
Are there pictures in there for me?
There are a few.
Okay, good.
Yeah, just a couple.
Let me ask you this, Mark. Just a quick question. If I were to like record, if I were to get this book and record the audio tape of it, how much would you pay me for the audio tape of it?
Zero.
Okay.
Why would you even do that? There's
That's
probably
why
an audio version
you know,
already.
Yeah.
Well, you think I don't read because I just want to listen to things? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah, that was, I think, the inference.
No? No.
I'm not a reader, really, either.
Okay, thanks. I'm not going to offer up excuses for
why
I don't read books.
Yeah.
Well, you could just
There's
take
just other things we like to do.
You could take a road trip and listen, right? Go to Chicago.
See,
anyone?
I've never done an audiobook. I just haven't taken that step. People like it. Right?
My wife listens to them while she's like cooking and stuff.
Yes.
But man, some of the ones she's listening to are like, it'll be crazy. Like it'll get like raunchy in there a little bit.
Oh.
And I'm like, what did that? What did they just say?
Oh, you like...
Wow.
It's not even like supposed to be. She's like, the book's not even like that.
So right. But you're listening because she doesn't have it on the headphones?
She just plays it out of her phone. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, the old speaker phone.
Uh-huh. It's also National Maple Syrup Day. I'm not really a syrup person. Fred, what do you put on your breakfast? Is it pancakes or waffles you make?
I'm good at making waffles.
That's
mini
right.
Waffles.
Mini waffles.
Syrup is... I'm all over it.
Okay, yep. Do you like the real maple? You know.
Oh no, I like the real maple from New Hampshire, that sort of thing.
Oh, good. Oh, Fred. Sure. You're an elitist. Mark,
I don't have a particular state that I favor. But
you'll take the Aunt Jemima?
I'll take the Walmart $1.69 syrup as well.
Oh, all right.
Fred likes, what did you like there? Connecticut? Is that the one? Or
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. I'll take Vermont for my syrup, but I do like syrup a lot, yes.
Okay. And it's also National Say It Now Day. Now, this means you're supposed to tell friends and loved ones how important they are to you just before the holidays.
Huh. Mark, let's tell Sue how important she is.
You're very important to us, Sue. Is this in lieu? By the way,
wink, wink.
I'm going to do this a lot today if this is in lieu of gifts.
Oh, dear. And 50.
Alex, I just want to say, Alex, that you've had a great year. You had a wedding year.
Yeah.
I didn't come. I ditched out on that.
You
but
did.
God bless you.
You know,
I'm not getting you anything for Hanukkah or Christmas.
I don't have a single nice thing to say about you.
Well, that's the spirit.
It makes our job easy over here, Mark.
Hey, by the way, I did finally send a gift.
I don't think
I got the thank you for the damn gift yet either.
I think
is that
you
still
might
coming?
Have. Really? I think you're, yeah, Becky
I don't
probably
open,
got
I don't
it.
Open mail very often. It's probably in the mail that I
haven't I know
opened.
That I definitely sent one because I think I wrote something along the lines of like,
I'm
you
shocked.
Know,
thanks for being 3 months late.
Thanks so much. You know, you saved me the trouble of you even actually having to come to the wedding, so it worked out for
well,
everyone.
Well, and you know, that sucked that I didn't come to the wedding in all seriousness because I was sick during the summer and that was when I was at my worst. So I just wanted to clear up the gift issue.
Yeah, though. No, I appreciate it.
This story has some music to save us. On this day in history, 54 years ago, 1971, David Bowie released his fourth album. And the album title is Hunky Dory. But it features Changes.
And I think this one would qualify as my favorite David Bowie song. I do like China Girl quite a bit, but this is always the one I would go back to, I think. Did you say this was 1971?
Yes.
Wow.
And also on this album was Life on Mars. I'm not familiar with that. Are you?
I'm not either. No.
Mark, do you know it?
I know the record, but I don't think I could sing it for you right now.
Well, I didn't.
But I'm just shocked by the fact that was 71.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little later in the 70s.
I know. And also on this day in history, 25 years ago, so that's easy, 2000, Terrell Owens set the NFL record for the most receptions in a single game. If you remember this, he had 20 catches, and the 49ers beat the Bears 17-0. That was 25 years ago today. All right, this is interesting. Well, maybe just to me. Someone polled 30,000 Americans, and a full one-third admitted they save wrapping paper and you reuse it. What? Isn't
save,
it too wrinkly?
I
What's
save
happening?
Bags. I yeah. save gift bags.
The crowd's not a fan
I will
of
do
that.
That.
That makes no sense to save the wrapping paper that's crinkled.
Depends,
well, yeah, 30% of people do
Have
that.
Have you ever opened something that's got really quality wrapping paper?
Yes.
My sister-in-law and brother-in-law use really quality. I mean, it's thick.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
thick paper. So sometimes if it just naturally tears a nice way, then maybe, you fold it up with the tissue paper and you put it in the gift bags and you just maybe keep a couple. But for me, it's hard.
Like
it's hard to say to keep wrapping paper. That is pretty crazy.
Well, they say that of these third that actually keep it, only 18% say they reuse it. Another 16% say they keep it, but rarely end up using it. So I don't know.
Because it's not
practical. I'm with you on the bags.
Right, yeah.
And the bags are key. I don't think I've ever... I get actually mad when I have to buy a gift bag because I...
you haven't
I feel like I should have something that fits just about every sized thing that you'd need. A gift bag is an easy thing to store.
It is.
An easy thing to reuse. To me, a gift bag, it's like a, you know, you go spend like $8, $9 on a gift bag sometimes,
right? You can reuse
those. Yeah, the thing is, you got to get the paper to fluff it. And if you don't have that, then it's all over.
Fluff it. Is that a word?
The final minted set of pennies sold for big bucks yesterday. They ran off of the mint, and they came off, and these pennies went for $16.76 million. They had estimated that they'd go for $5 million because it was the last ever pennies.
My question is why?
Yeah, who cares? Right?
No, you guys have no sense of history, right? Well, somebody wanted that.
But $16
million? Well, it's one shot.
It's worth one penny.
Oh, they sold it in sets of three.
Okay.
You know, so you could get a little piece. The sets included a 2025 penny struck at the Philadelphia Mint that had like a 2025 D, and it was supposed to be fancy with a Greek letter on it. Ugh. So if you are into that, what do you call it?
Point collectors.
Numerologists? Then you love that. No, it's not numerologists. Oh, okay. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. It's one for Mark. Pop-Tarts sales have gone up every year from 1982 to 2014, and it's possible they're still going up. 2014 is just the last time Kellogg's announced Pop-Tart sales. Wait. They sold it to Mars, Inc.
Oh.
Mars owns it since 2023.
Well, trying to keep them very, very happy with my Pop-Tart purchases.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Well, they're still looking for the suspect in the Brown University shooting. We've had a couple of updates on that today. You know, Fred, yesterday when we were watching this, and this became kind of like a meme.
Did it really?
Yeah, because like it's so entertaining sometimes I get distracted. And this happened in Providence yesterday with the news conference, where what they do is they have the interpreter, you know, doing the sign language right next to the police chief. And this person that was doing it yesterday, like I saw some tweets that said they're just doing fake sign language. I don't believe it was fake sign language, but she's so animated.
Yeah, she's into it.
It looks like she's telling her own story. I mean, she's literally like a foot away from the police chief, and she was a little, no disrespect to the interpreter, a little scary looking. So she's gone viral because of that reason, but they still don't have the shooter, unfortunately. Dwayne Patterson will join us after 5 o'clock to talk politics. We'll get his thoughts on what might happen tonight. By the way, we're going to air the president's address tonight. I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to be able to watch the Survivor finale. If Trump's going to screw up the Survivor finale, okay.
They're stopping it.
What are they going to do,
Fred?
They'll
pick it up as soon as it's over.
Oh, really?
So they're going to take a Trump timeout.
Is that what they say?
And then come back for the
TTO.
Oh, smart. Jeff Probst is pissed about
TTO. TTO.
That's interesting. So are they assuming that the speech is going to be under 90 minutes? Because I don't know if I would anticipate that. So in other words, I'll be watching Survivor at about 1:30 in the morning. Okay. Here's a question for the team that really should be pointed at me, but I'll ask it to you anyway because I'm the one that's going to read you the quiz. Do you know Alex Rich, Sue Thomas, Fred Bottomer, Ethan Hanifer, do you know how to behave at work? That's the question from the Wall Street Journal.
Depends.
You think so, but we're going to test those skills.
Yeah.
So here's the first question for you. This was an interactive quiz. I have not taken it yet, so we'll kind of do this in a group manner, and we'll see if we can come up with a consensus, all right? Consensus picks. Your phone rings or vibrates while you're in a business meeting or on a Zoom call. What do you do? Do you excuse yourself from the meeting, then check your phone? Do you silence and ignore it until the meeting is over to check your phone? Do you check to see who's texting or calling during the meeting? People understand. Do you turn off your phone or switch to do not disturb mode before any business meeting? Would you like to answer?
I think the answer is probably supposed to be the last one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that anybody really does that.
There's a lot of variables here, in my opinion.
Yeah. I would say silence and ignore it until the meeting is over.
Yeah, I would too, but you know, to go a level deeper, it depends on the importance of the meeting.
Yep.
You know,
the importance of the phone call.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So there's different variables here, but I think that the general one probably is put it on do not disturb.
Right. Because look, this gets me to think about a little strategy for the next meeting that we're supposed to have. We're actually supposed to have one tomorrow. Trisha said we're having a staff meeting tomorrow at 10 a.m. Did you know that, Fred?
You need
I
me
did,
to call?
I think it's been canceled.
It has, thank God. Because like she said this to me yesterday, I'm like, oh, that's great, can't wait. But can I do mine on Zoom? And you know, I think I was pretty clear in my messaging that can you cancel that meeting because no one really wants to do it. So she read the room and she canceled it. But I would probably say, you know, check to see who's texting or calling. People understand. But should I say turn your phone off or switch to do that? So we'll do that. We'll do that one here. That's wrong. It's silence and ignore it until the meeting is over. I should have gone with my gut there.
Yep.
Well, why would you not turn your phone
off? Yeah.
What's
the difference? Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. You can keep your camera off on a Zoom call with coworkers if no one asks for it to be on. True or false?
I'd say true.
All right. It says correct. True. If the host wants to see everyone's face, the host should say so beforehand. False. Even if it isn't required, it's courtesy to others to have your camera on. Be polite. No, I don't agree with that.
It depends how big the meeting is.
This is what it says, Ethan. You beat me to the punch. It says
and sometimes,
it depends. If you're not on camera ready or if you have distractions going on behind you shouldn't be put on camera. And then finally, I'm not speaking much, so I don't need to have the camera on or I will turn it on when it's my turn to speak. The final answer that I would give is this. I'm at family golf hitting golf balls. I don't want you to see that I'm doing that. I'm only going to listen in my ear.
I think everybody is aware.
I've done that many times.
Yeah.
Okay, should we say false? It's not required. It's a courtesy?
Yeah.
You ever seen those videos of people that put green screens behind them when they're actually like at the beach or like doing something crazy like snowboarding, but it like looks like they're in their like office or something?
I had my friend John Lynch, who I believe is in Todos Santos, Mexico right now. During COVID, his kids were with him and they were doing some of the, you know, the stuff because they couldn't be in class. And they were literally doing it on this beautiful beach, Los Cerritos Beach. And the class and the professor thought it was a fake background. But it was too like
oh, that's funny.
It was totally real. Anyway, the answer was false, even if it's not required. It's a courtesy to others to have your camera on. I disagree.
That was the answer?
I'm not putting the camera on.
This thing's
on.
Yeah, over, too.
Forget about the other people.
Question
I'm one
number
and
three.
One.
Right, exactly. Thank you. Mm. Question number three. Someone you want to impress extends their hand, but moments ago you saw the person wipe their nose with that hand. What do you do? This is a very good question, especially cold and flu season. Yuck, don't offer your hand to shake, just decline. Two, say that you have a cold and you're not shaking hands right now. Offer a fist bump or your elbow instead. Shake the person's hand, then wash your hands at the soonest opportunity. Now, I'd say, yuck, don't offer your hand to shake, just decline. I might try a fist bump, too, though.
Yeah, I've been a fist bumper lately a little bit more had been.
You're telling me if someone you're trying to impress puts out their hand, you're going to say no? You guys are crazy.
Okay, you know what? Ethan's smart here because he dialed into the specifics of the question. The question was specifically someone you want to impress. So, should I say
Shake the person's hand and you take
all
the
right,
L.
Absolutely. I'm going to do it. You're going to take the hit. You're going to get, you know, the flu. You're going to maybe die because you're too old, but you're going to shake that hand because it's someone you want to impress.
I die an honorable man.
Here we go. You got the right answer. Yep. That is right.
Dang right I did.
I would not do that. I don't care who
it is. What if they got full like booger on their hand or something?
You know, if I had my own show, maybe I wouldn't either. But I don't. All so
right. That's a good point.
Here's another question.
But I'm with you.
You're replying. Good answer though. But you did. You focus in on the impressed part because it's not like your average person coming out of the.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah, it is. Okay. You're replying to a business associate's email. This would require me to look at my work email. But let's say you're replying to a business associate's email. Is it appropriate to include a smile, thumbs up, heart, or other emoji? One, that's inappropriate in a professional message. Use your words. Two, that's appropriate. Emojis help communicate the tone you want to convey. Three, it depends on how well you know the recipient. Four, basic emojis are fine, like the smiley face, but avoid others to avoid potential misinterpretation. I would say that's appropriate. Emojis help communicate the tone you want to convey.
Yeah. I'd say it depends how well you know the person.
I think that one's what
agreed.
I'd say.
Agreed.
Which one should I say? It depends on how well
you know him.
Okay, I'll click that one. Right! You guys are right. Yeah, I'm wrong again. That's excellent. Question number five. Your workplace doesn't have a strict dress code.
Okay.
It couldn't be this place.
Is it fine to wear sneakers, leggings, or jeans as long as they are styled nicely? Number one, correct. If the company doesn't forbid it, anything goes. Society is more casual now anyway. I don't think that's the answer. Number two, even without a strict dress code, avoid items like sneakers, jeans, flip-flops, or leggings in the office. Number three, in lieu of a dress code that spells out do's and don'ts, ask more senior colleagues or HR what is and what isn't acceptable. And then number four, try to emulate what your boss wears to work. I think the answer might be, even without a strict dress code, avoid items like sneakers, jeans, flip-flops, or leggings in the office. But we work in a radio station, so everyone does that.
I wear flip-flops with my jeans.
I think as long as it's, you know, fits you well, I think it's fair game.
So correct, it says society is more casual. I'm going to go with correct. If the company doesn't forbid it, anything goes?
No.
No, that sounds
definitely
I don't think
wrong.
That's the right answer.
So what's the right answer here?
Probably the one Sue said.
Even without a strict dress code, avoid items like that?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do that. That's wrong.
Oh.
Okay, it says, in lieu of a dress code that spells out do's and don'ts, ask more senior colleagues or HR what is and isn't acceptable. Stop it. I have to talk to HR too much as it is. I'm not going to go to HR and ask them a question. I get sent there.
You don't even
all
have
time.
An HR.
No, we really.
Well, we do out of town, believe me. I can promise you. Question number six.
He would know.
And he has Zoom meetings. It's his favorite.
Question number six. You're working from home. Alex, there's no need to dress up for Zoom calls with coworkers, right? Correct. It would be different if you were meeting with clients or upper management. No, things were more permissible during the pandemic, but those days are over. Three, dress professionally when hopping on the call. You can go back to wearing a t-shirt afterward. That's probably the right answer.
That's got to be it.
Ask the meeting host if there's a dress code for the call. But we're going to say dress professionally.
Yeah, I'd say. Yeah.
Okay, I dress like John Fetterman for most of these things. But yes, that is the correct answer. Question number seven. You want to meet with someone. Should you send them a... I don't even know what this word is. A Calendly?
What?
C-A-L-E-N-D.
Oh, it's like a thing that they, it's, what's the next option?
Like it says, a calendar invite?
Should it's you like send them a Calendly with your schedule to book a time?
Yeah, it's like they can click on an open time on your calendar and automatically book it.
Okay.
It's kind of a little bit, to me, maybe a pompous way to say here's my, you know.
Agreed.
But let's hear more options.
So the answers are yes, this is the most convenient way to find a meeting time that works for them. No, given the recipient a range of dates and times you're available, then ask what works for them. Three, kind of. kind of. Give the person the option to book on your scheduling tool or ask if they prefer if you send them a calendar link. That could be it. No, ask the recipient to let you know what time works for them.
I think the second one that
no,
you said.
Give the recipient a range of dates.
We'll give
them
that range of dates.
Good job. You got that
I'm good
correct.
At my job, Mark.
That way, because what you don't want to happen is just say, hey, throw me out a time that works, and then that time doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
Because then you just feel dumb. Like, actually, that doesn't work for me.
Question number eight here. You are participating in a phone or video call in an open plan office. The polite way is to, I guess that's like where it's just not offices.
We have an open plan over there.
Is
on
that what we
side.
Have? Well, no one's ever over there, so I didn't know that. Does that qualify when no one's in the open plan office?
Well, yeah, because it's open. Because I know the answer.
It's open because there's nobody there.
Yeah, nobody should take their calls out in the public.
The polite way is to apologize to nearby colleagues in advance. That gives them a chance to get up or put headphones on. Keep your voice and the speaker volume low. Find a private area such as a booth to conduct the call. Take the call. Apologize to your neighboring coworkers afterward. No, I would say find a private area, right? Let's see.
Which not many people do over there.
That is correct. Question number nine.
I tell you, there's a few culprits.
Wow. You want to drop any names?
Yeah, I would name names if I were you.
Judith does it quite a bit.
Ooh.
Judith's probably maybe listening.
Called out. Yep.
Yeah, Judith. But Judith knows she does it. And Judith, you know, she'll apologize.
She runs that side of the building.
Well, here's what I would say. Yeah. And I said this a couple of weeks ago. Without Judith Anderson, I would be homeless. So God bless her. Because between Judith and Alex and a couple other people like Julia, then I would not
have I've heard her conversations about you.
No, she's an account rep here, and she has a lot of my sponsors, and she keeps me going, believe me, and it's very much appreciated. And we have a lot in common with music. At a networking event, you'd like to have a drink or a beverage, but you also want to be able to shake hands. You should hold the item in the hand you don't shake with so that your handshaking hand isn't wet and clammy. I think there's something to that.
Yeah.
Put your drink now, or I'm sorry, put your drink down on the table or floor, then shake hands. Bump elbows instead of shaking hands.
No.
Skip the drink. You won't have to worry about the awkward hand moments. My answer would be hold the item in the hand that you don't shake with.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I'd agree with it.
Okay, and that is correct.
Yay.
Good work,
well
team. Good work, team.
All right, one final question.
It does trouble you, though, when you're like, you got an appetizer and you got a drink in one hand and a snack in the other.
Yep.
Okay,
that's when troubling. Bumping elbows comes in handy.
It is when bumping. I was going to say it's when bumping elbows.
This next one might be the toughest on the quiz, right? And maybe that's why it's the final question. And I think we may have all dealt with this in the past, so I think that maybe the answers will be interesting. A colleague has a body odor problem. The best response is, one, find a discreet way to tell the person about the problem directly without involving others. Two, report it to human resources. Three, tell your manager so the manager can address it. Four, you shouldn't say anything. You don't know what's going on in that person's life.
I've had to report this before.
I'd probably tell your manager.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Yeah. Let the manager deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want
to. All right, I'm going to click that. That's wrong.
What is it?
They say, I don't believe it. Find a discreet way to tell the person about the problem directly without involving others.
I feel like that's the exact opposite of what our HR videos tell us to do.
Right.
Every step of the way.
What's a discreet way? Like to put a can of Lysol on their desk and wrap it up or something like that?
Merry Christmas.
Or some antiperspirant?
What is a discreet way?
I don't know.
I don't know that it exists.
Do you say, have you tried this new, try this new cologne that I've been.
Seriously, how would you tell somebody that?
That's a great question.
How in the world would you approach that?
Mark, what would you say?
I've been confronted with this, and I think most of the time what's happened is I've just ignored it because it's an embarrassing situation, and you don't want to be the person that person thinks.
Would it be a different situation if it's somebody in the studio here and you're in a closed
every day?
You're in a smaller space?
I think you guys know me well enough to say that if that were to happen, I would address it immediately. And yes, something,
explicits involved.
Yes, there would be, yes. I wouldn't let something like that go.
So we're all safe.
But it's, yeah, you guys, okay. You'd know right away.
Pushing the line a little bit.
But what if it, I don't know.
But think about it, Alex. Sometimes you're in situations where it's, look, I gotta tell you something. When I went, and I don't know how I survived this, there was a moment that I didn't think I was. I went, as you know, to Spain with a group of listeners, and part of that trip was going to see Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band the opening night of the European tour. So I'm in this huge stadium where they held the Olympics in Barcelona, and there's, 80,000 people, and this dude wanders into the row in front of me, okay?
Europe, all bets are off, man.
And he does not, I don't even think he has a ticket for that row.
Mm-hmm.
And he smells so bad that I did not think I was going to be able to, honest
to God, get it.
I was going to move my seat.
That's awful.
It
the
is.
Person who was next to him, I could tell, she couldn't take it. She left. She
Whoa.
Got up and left and never came back. What this did was, all right, so if you envision the row, I'm
Maybe
in a row.
Maybe that's his plan.
But listen, so I'm in the row. My friends are next to me. The guy, when I was catching that guy's wind, he was to the right and to the front of me. As soon as he moved over to the left where that woman was, I didn't catch the wind, and I was safe for the rest of the show. But honest to God, he smelled so bad, I don't know how anyone could have lasted the whole time. But the wind, it was just a movement of like four spots in the, in the seats.
And she was directly downwind, it must have been.
It was awful.
God,
that's
nobody
terrible,
said,
lady.
Are there people that can't? Is it like universal? Like we all can agree when somebody smells, or do some people truly just not get a whiff
people,
of certain things?
Yeah, I think it's maybe that.
I don't know.
Because it blows my mind how people walk around sometimes smelling so bad.
I would agree with you. We got to take a break. Well, we got to wrap up this hour because we're running a little late on time. Alex, I hope you're having a nice Hanukkah.
Yeah, I am.
You're
good.
I am. I appreciate it. You as well. You're what like the 1.3% a year or something?
I got
it
three,
was something.
No, come on, man. 3% Ashkenazi.
Sorry.
So I'm in the tribe. I'm a
it's
member.
It's been a good Hanukkah so far.
What will you do for Christmas? Like, will there be anything?
We'll go to Annie's family's house. They do Christmas. It's actually nice because we don't have to fight over where we're going for Christmas.
Right.
My family doesn't do Christmas, so we go to her family's house.
That makes it easy.
But we do. We light the candles every night in my household. We make it a whole event. I'm actually throwing a big Hanukkah party this weekend at Ballpark Village at Sports and Social. It's St. Louis's only pop-up Hanukkah bar.
Huh?
And I am hosting the party.
Are you really?
I love it. Should come by if you got nothing going on. No music. I'm just on the mic. I'm getting people excited to be there. We're doing some dancing. We're doing some games.
That's right up my alley.
Yeah, well,
as a white sober
you're
guy,
you're supposed to stay off of the dance floor. But it'll be a good time at Sports and Social, yeah, on Saturday
how
night.
How to find out information about that? Is there a website or anything?
My Instagram, I suppose.
Alex Rich on Instagram.
Yep.
Have a great Hanukkah. Enjoy your Christmas. We'll talk to you in a few weeks. We're taking some time off.
Get more at 971talk.com. You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.